This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Woohoo, Patriots. Yeah, buddy.
Welcome to Super Bowl Monday. Dave is not experienced. He's I'd like a joy hangover here.
That's right.
Welcome to Newsmakers. This is Brent DeHart, and Dave Bourne is celebrating his team's victory yesterday
in the as lowest scoring
Super Bowl in history. You know, I kept wondering during the show, you must love it, you know, and they're always going to the coach.
Uh-huh.
You know, both the head coaches, and they were in flashing. I saw the special teams coach in the Rams. I saw the defensive coordinator of the Rams. And I'm looking at the scoreboard, and there's like a big goose egg for the Rams. I'm like, who's the defensive coordinator for your team there? They never talked about him. He's blanking out a team in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Where his, you know, squad is. And they didn't even talk him up. Where was Troy Aikman? Troy Aikman? Who's the commentator on that?
So Tony Romo?
Tony Romo, thank you. The other Dallas quarterback.
The other.
So I trust you watched the whole game?
I did.
And what'd you think?
I was impressed at the defensive side of the game.
Indeed.
Two number one teams going at it, you know? They're both very defensive. And I got to say, the Patriots' defense was better looking to yesterday than they had all year, pretty much.
So what do you think is the untold story that we don't know about Todd Gurley, the running back for the Rams?
Todd Gurley
barely saw the ball in the first half. I think he had one touch in the first quarter.
I think he was experiencing something that they didn't want to talk about because he was stretching a lot. He was on the riding bike a lot. When you're doing that, you're in an injury of some sort trying to work it out.
Yeah, I think basically he was compromised.
Yes.
And they didn't want the Patriots to be able to have a game plan that didn't include, you know,
stopping Gurley.
Right?
Stopping Gurley, yeah.
So, which, you know, Patriots defense, wow.
Yeah. Well, the Rams were pretty impressive, too. They kept the Patriots from scoring 40 points, which they usually do.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And then there's the Super Bowl halftime, which I have to talk about that. We don't talk a lot about sports here on the show, although sometimes I'd like to talk more sports and less politics. But so Friday, if you were listening Friday, I was on my soapbox a little bit about the coarsening of culture in America and the coarsening of the language and what's becoming acceptable. And I sound like an old fart, you know, somebody's old grumpy uncle or even worse, grandfather or something. But I think it's positive in America when we have U.S. representatives and even candidates and people wanting to run for president that drop the F-bomb.
No,
I'm going to relate by dropping the F-bomb everywhere.
Not relatable. That's so, like them trying to drink a beer on camera, saying how relatable they were.
Yeah, and you know what? It's so prevalent now. It's so ubiquitous that does it really even have an impact? I mean, the first time you say it on HBO, whatever decade that was, you know, that's one thing.
Yeah.
The first time, you know, you put it in a PG movie, by the way, sidelight. Did you know that movies intended for family audiences will sometimes put an F-bomb in the movie on purpose so they don't get a G rating?
Seriously.
They think a PG or a PG-13 will appeal to more youth. You know, and that if it's G, they'll think it's for little kids. So they want the tweeners and the teenagers, and the tweeners and the teenagers won't go if it's G.
Right.
So they'll throw in a line in the movie where someone drops the F-bomb.
Just once.
Yeah, just once. Because two, there's a rule here.
I think it has
two
to be
get
two.
Will get you an R?
No.
PG-13?
PG-13 is for adult language, right?
So how are you supposed to take your family? I don't want to sound like, you know, focus on the family.
So you don't take your 10-year-old, right?
Okay, anyway, that's a sidelight. They do it on purpose. They do it on purpose so they don't have a G rating, even if the audience intended is for families.
Gives it that risque feeling?
No, it's just the rating. They're going to sell more
tickets.
Yeah, I
realize that, but yeah. I mean risque for the family.
Yeah.
Drives
me crazy. So here's the question. Why do you invite somebody to perform on your halftime show, not Maroon 5, mind you, but this other guy that you know you're going to have to bleep out. I mean, CBS was successful in bleeping out the language in his rap lyrics, which frankly were unintelligible anyway.
True.
But they knew what he was going to say. Clearly, they had these big segments that blocked out. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of people were going to the refrigerator or the
bathroom,
snack, you know, something. That just seems insane to me. You have this gigantic worldwide event, most watched, you know, in the world, blah blah blah, and a family event. And you're booking Maroon 5, which is pretty vanilla,
right?
Right. And I can't believe they get all the complaints about Maroon 5.
They weren't that great.
They weren't that great, but they're not offensive. It's like, but they were entertaining.
Well, him taking his shirt off and showing off all his new tattoos, that was.
That's the only part my wife liked.
I didn't like that.
She goes, well, this is getting a little better.
Wow. See, I didn't find that appealing at all.
Imagine that. Because, you know, right after Big Boy comes in and is his fur coat, and he's into.
I'm surprised Pete is not all over that, too.
Indeed. So Travis, oops. I wasn't even going to mention his name.
You weren't going to mention his name.
So this performer, apparently he can't communicate and have language that's acceptable to families that are not inner city related. All we fly over people that, you know, have, you know, we're not woke enough to just accept the vernacular of the hood. And he needs to broadcast this kind of language all over the world, live TV, and CBS let him do it.
Yeah.
And Maroon 5 invited him. We're like, hey, you can do it, but you're going to have to tone down the lyrics. This is a family show. It's like, how about, I mean, all these people boycotting because they don't, the performers passed and were somewhat boycotting because they didn't want to support the NFL. They wanted, and because they didn't think the NFL handled the Kaepernick movement well enough. But don't quite get it. I don't know why they won't come and support all of the players.
Right.
I don't know. It's because the NFL is the man, I guess, and it's the machine, and
well, maybe
they want involvement in it.
Maybe it's because an executive helped plan the halftime and what the NFL was supposed to be trying to be all-inclusive, and I think there was a kind of a big fail there myself.
All right. So anyway, that's...
It wasn't really relatable.
No. Well, then that's the thing, is they try to have a variety of performers to relate to different demographics.
I think they were trying to appeal to the younger viewing audience.
Yeah, let's bring back Gaga then, huh? Let's bring back Lady Gaga.
You know, Lady Gaga wasn't that bad.
No.
Prince was the best, I think. Michael Jackson, Stones.
I don't think Michael is available, or Prince.
No, but I mean, no. When he did perform a couple of years ago.
I'm just teasing.
I know.
Hey, my weekend, the highlight was the Bob Seger Band.
Yeah, how was that?
Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band at the Moda Center.
Mm-hmm.
It was worth driving to Portland. And very few things are worth driving to Portland for me. I will not drive to Portland for a good meal. I will not drive to Portland. If it's theater we can't get in Salem, you know, big theater, or if it's obviously in a big event, you know, the Blazers or something like that.
Right. But
most of the time, I'm not going up there to shop. I'm not going up there for a meal.
No, you don't need to for that.
But Bob Seger.
Yeah.
Wow. 73 years old.
Icon.
Yeah. And he and the Silver Bullet Band. So let me just tell you. And he had three backup singers. He had a horn section of four. He had his sax player has been with him since 1971.
Yeah. Good friends.
Yeah. And his guitar player since 69. And let's see, a drummer. I mean, it was the full deal. He had two keyboardists. It was just power. It was
nice.
And it was poignant as well. And I just wanted to like thank you for that song and just like send him notes because they were all iconic.
You can.
You know, you can go for 2+ hours and I'm like, oh yeah, that song. And he talked a little bit. And I'm like, well, I wrote this. I was sitting outside a club. I was underage and.
That's a cool part.
And then there's this girl, and I'm watching through the window, and it's close. And that's when he wrote Main Street.
Wow.
He's like 15, 16 years old. Down on Main Street.
I love
that. Great sax solo in there.
Good song.
Anyway, Bob Seger, it's the last time we're going to see him in Portland. Last time we're going to see him in Oregon,
it's
really.
It's final tour?
Yeah, and actually, he was postponed for over a year because he had spinal surgery.
That'll do it.
So he looked like he was 73 and had spinal surgery, but he was still bringing it and had a lot of energy. And at 73 and as, with his compromised health, he's still better than most everybody who ever lived.
Right.
Had a great songwriter. Great songwriter. Great point. And, you know, I'm looking on Facebook feed, and there, a lot of my friends are out there.
Yeah.
A lot of Salemites went up for that game. So we're going to take a break here. We got some things to talk about the Mid-Valley, and it's another fabulous Mid-Valley day. So thank you, friends, for joining us. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and this is Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
You know, Dave, welcome back to Newsmakers. I think for the next segment, we're going to have to lead in with a little Bob Seger.
You know, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I like it.
A little bit of Hollywood Nights or something.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, I learned during the break that I was clueless and missed a social media reference, and that Dave is not funny. So these are the things we learn while you're listening to our sponsors. And thanks to all our sponsors, by the way, that support local radio and local talk radio. So this is Newsmakers. We're with you Monday through Friday. This is a Monday, and we're in a good Monday vibe.
Yes, we are.
There's some things to talk about that's going on in the legislature. It's going on in the community. Some good, some scary.
So what's going on in the legislature? I'd like to know that.
And we've booked some things. We've booked some things coming up later this month. So Jason Brandt from Orla, which is the Oregon Restaurant and Lodging Association, he's going to join us later in the month.
Okay.
That association represents, you know, all of these businesses, and most of them small, that that serve our visitors.
Right.
Us and our visitors.
Yeah.
It's Restaurant and Lodging Association. It's an enormous business political action force. And Jason, of course, is from our community and used to be CEO of the Salem Chamber and is a great friend of mine. But it'll be great to have Orla on. Jason can talk about what's going on at the legislature, what attacks on small businesses are happening, what kind of things are happening in his industry. So that would be great. Also booked, because we talk a lot about C-Tech in the show, or we refer to it a lot, and I try not to presume that listener knows, but this is career technical, and but we need an update. So we've got Chuck Lee coming on from the Mountain West Group. Chuck is a school board member, Salem Kaiser Schools, just recently announced his reelection campaign. So that'll be great to keep him as the Kaiser representative. And Chuck will come on and talk about the C-Tech High School and give you the whole lowdown. So that'll be exciting. Also later this month. And we get to learn about what programs are coming up, how many kids are getting hired, what kind of things they're learning. The graduation rate, which we've talked about, are through the roof. What an incredible, frankly, national impact it'll have, because it is a model of public-private partnership that everybody wants to hear about. So that'll be great. So the legislature, who we need to get on, if you're listening, Mike Nierman, Representative Nierman, we have to get Mike Nierman in.
Yeah.
Yep. So I love what's going on here, because we're talking about the tolling of the highways.
No, not again.
Yep. Oh, yeah. They're talking about bringing that into place to help with infrastructure and so forth. And I was back east last summer, and I kind of saw how it worked, you know, and there's tolling. If you're going from A to B, a lot of times you're going to pass a place that you pay a toll, and everyone's got the little clicker in their car to auto pay and this and that. So it's not like it's revolutionary, or it's happening all over the place on the East Coast. We're just not very used to it on the West Coast.
No.
And maybe we are not so thrilled about having it.
Well, here's my point on that. And I'm going to repeat this again and again because of this tolling thing. It's designed to upkeep roads or build new roads. They have like a toll road, like in Florida, for instance, that's separate from the interstate system. You don't toll the interstate system that's already paid for. The taxpayers pay to upkeep it. So it's paid for and should be upkept.
Mm-hmm.
You have tolls for toll roads, where you have less traffic, faster commute, but you pay for it with the tolls. Mm-hmm. If you want to travel for free, you go on the interstates. That's how it's supposed to work.
All right.
And you don't are not supposed to toll the interstates that are already paid for.
What about the Golden Gate Bridge?
They had to redo it, right?
Well, no. Well, it was, they tolled it to pay for it.
Right. And then they
never took away the toll.
No, they did for a little while. They took it away for a few years after it was paid for. And then they redid it and they put the toll thing back on again because it took a lot of money.
It does. And actually, the upkeep of the Golden Gate Bridge is extraordinary. Yeah, did you know that when they're done painting it, because they have to, you know, it's salt water,
right.
Sea water, all this stuff. And that when they're done painting it, they have to go back and start again.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Because of the
salt
water.
It's a constant, yeah. You know, and the resurfacing and so forth. Anyway, off topic. So Representative Nierman, along with others, is talking about putting a measure out, either through the legislature or ballot measure, that would limit the ability to toll so that it has to go through the voters.
Well, I would hope so.
So it has to go through the state voters and or the county voters.
Yes.
And all of these things are going to get fleshed out over time. So we'll ask Representative Nierman about that. He's a representative, Republican representative from Polk County.
Good.
Parts of the Independence
Good.
Area.
I can't wait to talk to him.
And it's a great idea. And here's the linchpin. Here's the thing. They want to limit so that the money that is the revenue that's gained by the tolling goes to capacity. Goes to increasing capacity, and it's not bled off into TriMet, right? It's not bled off into light rail. It's not bled off into other projects, other infrastructure, that if you're going to toll on the roads for the cars that are using it,
right,
that you can't spend the money on something that the cars aren't using.
Like they've been doing.
So I think it's a great idea, and
it
we'll
is.
See.
Well,
you know,
it's
going to have to.
Okay idea.
We'll see if it's going to. I don't think it's going to get through this legislature, so they'll probably have to get, garner signatures and all that. So, but tolling on the highways, the ballot measure. There was an article in the Oregonian about it last week. So they want to make sure the voters have a say that the money goes to capacity.
Would the tolling roads be here in Salem?
I have not seen any proposals for Salem.
Good.
No. Yeah. I-5,
unless
I-205.
Unless they build a new road that is separate from I-5. That you could use as a bypass, then I wouldn't have a problem with them tolling it.
Well, you know, I'm anything that makes people want to just stay in the Mid-Valley, not bother with Portland. Of course, you're going to have to pay and yet add it to your costs of going to PDX and flying out of PDX, right?
No, that is, yeah.
All right, so we've invited him, and hopefully we'll have him. Hey, if you've got an idea for newsmakers, by the way, be sure to reach out. Call KYKN. You can email us at kyknewsmakers@gmail.com. kyknewsmakers@gmail.com.
That information is also on our website.
On the website.
KYKN.com.
Just click on the website. Yep. If you missed any of our fascinating and entertaining shows, you can always go to the website and watch the podcast as well.
Always entertaining.
Right? So, all right. The other thing in the legislature is campaign finance reform is being talked about, both in the House and the Senate. And this one's a toughie. Because I think people across the political spectrum may not like how money is spent in influencing elections. I complain about public employee unions getting money shaved off from the employees that work, whether they support them or not, getting shaved off and huge, vast amounts of money going in to further their legislative agenda. So I complain about that, and other people complain about corporations being able to contribute. They don't think corporations can be able to contribute.
They should be able to, but a certain amount. I mean,
yeah. So I see this thing in social media, and I sound like it, but I'm really not a huge social media person. But the things that strike me. So persons like corporations, not a person. Corporations should not be able to influence elections.
That's
should
true.
Not be able to give money to campaigns and blah, blah, blah. I said, all right. Hard take, right?
Yeah.
But if you do that and corporations can't write the checks, then neither can unions.
That's a good point.
Then neither can nonprofits. Then neither can trade associations. Then neither can AARP. You know what I mean? So they're all companies. They're all incorporated entities. So.
Right.
And then what do you do? I mean, that you could try. I mean, at this point,
you would never have enough money to advertise.
The money's just going to flow in another way.
You think?
Yes. The money's still going to get into campaigns and make it harder. And actually, in an effort by people trying to keep corporations out, they may take contributions and make them even darker and more mysterious in terms of they're still going to find an avenue. Corporation may not be able to give. That doesn't mean they couldn't give to a trade association that could give. Doesn't mean they couldn't give to an individual mm-hmm. who is like-minded, who is going to gift. And, you know, the money's still going to flow in elections. There's two ways to do it. You can either put a cap on spending.
Right? They should do that.
Or I don't know if they still do this. In years past and ages past, elections in Britain used to have a period of time that you could say you're running, you know, file for running, and you can advertise, and it's X amount of weeks, X amount of months before the election.
And then you're
really consolidating that period of time, which is hard to do in a country of 350+ million people.
Right.
But I don't know. I don't have an answer for it. But the governor race last year, $37 million spent.
That's a lot.
That can't be right. It has to be $370 million.
Probably.
Can't read my own writing. Anyway, money's out of control.
Yeah.
Even for small races for people to volunteer, we've had city councilors on and the money that they have to raise and so forth. Anyway, all right, so let's talk about the legislature. There's Article 1, Section 8, campaign finance reform. They want basically to bypass, to get a hall pass on limiting campaign finance reform by putting it in the Constitution that they can't. Because the problem with reform is the courts have shown and the Supreme Court has shown that spending your money on political advocacy is speech, and it's protected speech.
Okay.
It is our free speech. So that's a constitutional thing, and the only way to get across that is to amend the Constitution and say, and have Oregonians decide.
Okay.
We will modify this so that this speech can be limited by, and depending on the proposal, which side of the legislature you're on, the legislature and the people by initiative, or the legislature and the counties and cities or what have you, and the people, to have them have restrictions on campaign finance.
Hmm.
So that is going to be huge.
All right. So when we come back, more legislature updates. I want to talk about the kicker, because I heard some interesting news about the kicker.
All right. Let's do that.
All right.
Yeah, you're listening to Newsmakers. This is 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is also brought to you by Sylvan Learning Center. So, Brent, if you're not sitting down already, you should be.
Do tell.
Legislature talking about diverting our PERS in 2020.
Kickers.
Our kicker in 2020 to the PERS system.
More or less, that's what it looks like.
Do you want that would be our refund that we're getting.
So
we have a refund coming this year.
Didn't we say when we started pulling into this session to watch your wallets?
Totally.
Watch your wallets. Oregon taxpayers on track to receive $724 million of kicker rebates.
That's in 2020.
That's when we would get those that money.
Yeah.
All right. So the bill's co-sponsored. Let's name names. Senator Kathleen Taylor of Portland. What a surprise. Representative Karen Power of Milwaukee. Okay. So
another.
Yeah, they want to put the money. They want to divert that money and not give it to us like the Constitution mandates.
Right.
And put it in a fund that Kate Brown set up to encourage the states, the local governments pour more money into the underfunded pension system.
PERS.
Is this PERS?
PERS.
All right. So do you want to say whether or not your income tax money that is entitled to you goes to PERS? Or?
It's my money.
No, I guess you do want to have a say.
Yeah.
All right.
We're getting a kicker this year. $463 million.
Okay.
Okay, so all Oregonians get that this year,
and
we're talking 2 years from now.
So by the way, the kicker for businesses and the business it's long gone. That has been eliminated.
Business really?
They don't get kickers anymore. Though I think they dedicated that to education.
Wow.
So when it's for the kids, they can get away with just about anything. But there's a pretty good debate in PERS. I mean, in the kicker. You got me doing it now.
Right.
And whether or not it's good public policy, whether or not it's even feasible for a legislature in a modern state to budget in 2-year cycles and all these things. But that's an argument for another day. The Constitution says that that comes back to the taxpayer.
Yeah, when it hits a certain threshold.
Yeah.
We get it back.
So here's here's a quote from Governor Brown. I certainly think that hardworking families should get their kicker rebate. She wants to preserve the tax credit for certain taxpayers. It's like, that's not really your call.
No. It's like, all taxpayers.
So we're going to have class warfare, and we're going to have, you know, we're going to pick and choose. We're going to let the governor decide who's hardworking.
Wow.
So if you make $400,000 as an oral surgeon or, you know, whatever, or you're a business owner and you're paving bridges, I don't care how you make your money.
Right.
You're making, you're not hardworking.
Hmm.
It's like, you don't have a family.
Wow.
It's not your tax. So it's, again, it's one of the things that Republicans complain about. It's, you know, wealth and income redistribution. So thank you to Tim Knopp for hopefully, he's a Republican from Bend, who has been fighting for, you know, PERS reform and what have you, and is largely responsible for a lot of our PERS law as it stands. Anyway, so yeah, watch your wallets. Let your legislator know. We have a few legislators on the left side of the aisle in this region and some on the right, but make sure all of our legislators know that you want your PERS protected. Now, your PERS, dang it. If you want your kicker protected. I hope that doesn't go anywhere. But when it's a supermajority, stranger things have happened. So, although we'll get more on that as things go happen. Complete sidelight, but I want to shout out, because I am a fan of Secretary of State Dennis Richardson.
Yes, great guy.
Great guy, great servant for Oregon. He's my hero for getting elected in the first place.
Right.
Secretary of State, amazing. And now and then we see in the news updates on his health. He has been fighting a brain cancer since last spring. And, you know, honestly, I just want to, you know, hope that we all pray for him and his health and he can restore to health. He has to limit some of his activities and practically all his public engagements.
Hmm.
But he's still on the job. He actually says he still wants to run for re-election in 2020.
Nice.
So more power to you, Dennis Richardson. So anyway. If you're thinking about him, support him. I like what he's doing with the Secretary of State's office.
Yeah.
I would like to maintain the Secretary of State's Republican hands. I hope his health doesn't force him to retire. But if it does, then hopefully we maintain that seat in Republican hands. And we maintain the accountability of all the state government programs, the state government agencies.
Sure.
So he's been, it seems like, pretty one after another auditing them and trying to find waste. All right, let's a couple more local things I want to talk about.
Okay.
All right. So, SCEF.
What is that?
That stands for Salem Kaiser Education Foundation.
Oh, okay.
And you know what? Good. A good organization. A lot of really, really caliber people have served their board, have served as executives. That goes back to 1982. They're going through a rough patch. May have overreached a little bit, and they had some setbacks, some bumps in the road when it comes to launching a huge expansion of SCEF's downtown footprint, which I was briefed on and a supporter of. I'm not blaming them for doing what they want to do. We now have a McLaren Center for Student Success. We're trying to centralize the areas where people can go and find out more about college, find out more about things to do after school and student success, right? Meet with recruiters, meet with college representatives, all sorts in a central location, all sorts of things. And if you're not familiar with SCEF, then Google them and find their website and see all the programs. So Salem Kaiser Education Foundation, they do the Awesome 3000 in Salem. Everybody loves the Awesome 3000. The school kids go out to and run and raise money, and they get T-shirts, and it's a very helpful and positive thing, and great sponsors, and it's huge. But they have they serve 11,000 kids in the district with different programs. They're supporting, you know, teachers, of course, and the teachers' programs. They've served 64,000 meals. I know in years past, they've been involved in after school activities and funding those things. And this is a foundation, so it's not the government. It's a charitable foundation, but its mission is to help support Salem Kaiser and it's educational and service to the kids. So good organization, but so they ran into some financial troubles. So they bought a historic building. It's the Starkey McCully Building downtown on Commercial Street.
Okay.
It's one of the oldest buildings standing downtown. So the proposal sounded fantastic. We're going to rehab this. We're going to repurpose it. We're going to put in the McLaren Center of Student Success. We're going to consolidate our operations, the whole nine yards. And this historic building, we're going to restore the facade. So it's going to be kind of a win-win, with the exception that it was owned by a nonprofit. They don't pay the property taxes.
Oh.
So there was a little bit of, you know, a whining about that. But anyway, that's what happens, and that's one of the things we have to be concerned about in a city where so much government owns the land, where the seat of county government, seat of state government,
right,
and they don't pay any property taxes, so it's harder.
That could be a problem. Yeah.
So you get the downtown core where you want to, you know, the central business district. I got to start calling it that. A lot. It's like
pretty
a phrase
it,
that
yeah.
Salemites don't use very much, and we have a central business district, and we should treat it as a central business district. Anyway, besides that because it's owned by a nonprofit, great initiative. They got a lot of people in town to donate, businesses.
Right.
Donate some of their skills, some of their labor, some of their equipment and materiel to retrofit this building and make it so. And it's very expensive when you're talking about something else. Anyway, so some of the funding sources didn't come through.
Uh-oh.
One of their gifts didn't come through. They had some financial difficulties. They're ending up with almost $1 million mortgage, which was not really in the plan.
Mm.
So there's a bump in the road. Hopefully we can get the board president or the acting executive director on, and we'll talk a little bit more about that and let people know exactly what's going on. You know, because this is not an entity we want to have go away. This is not an entity we want to have struggle. We want their programs to be in place, and we want to make sure that they're solvent. So I think the audience should be aware of what SCEF has done, is doing, and honestly, probably what we can all do to help. And make this thing vibrant and last. I mean, they had a temporary loan. They had trouble paying it back and all those things. Oh, and they closed the bookshop. That was the thing that was in the newspaper recently. They've long had a bookshop. And it was a tough decision, but they just determined that it was not generating money. It was costing money. So since that was, when
online,
when things change.
Yeah. Online.
Not everybody likes it when things change, but sometimes you have to do what you have to do. So that's SCEF. So yeah. And it affects downtown, affects our kids, the whole nine yards. So we'll have to get them on. We got to book them. We haven't booked them yet. So, all right. Also locally, a couple of good things, a couple of happy things before we go to break.
Okay.
Union Gospel, we had them on. We had Dan Clam on
and
Mike Robertson. This is really cool. I mean, some companies, I'm going to get in my soapbox after the hour, I guess, about the good, great things companies do. But Salem Electric set $13,000 last year by naming it the company's charity of the year. So in 2018, every time the company was doing a raffle or anything that was going to go to charity, they had named United Gospel Mission and wrote a big check. So, congrats. Good on
that. Nice.
Also in the gifting category, Roth's Fresh Markets.
Oh, wow.
If you haven't been in a Roth's, it's just like you just want to hang out there. They're so beautiful, for one. And between what the donuts look like and the flower section looks like.
Been hanging out there a lot.
The produce looks like. And they have prepared meals in there for grab-and-go hot food and the service. So if you've been to Ross, what a great Mid-Valley asset. And they gift $50,000 to Silver and Health.
Wow.
For some facility needs and so forth. So they called it, just a really changing gift in terms of being able to accomplish that. And, of course, Orville Roth is from Silverton, was big Silverton supporter. So thank you to Roth, because one of many, many companies that are gifting in our community and making things happen for the betterment.
Awesome.
All right, let's take a little break. We'll come back. You're listening to Newsmakers, local talk on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractors Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
And welcome back, Dave.
Brent.
Dave, Brent.
Brent.
Anybody who wants to listen to Dave and Brent talking today. We're talking about a lot of things today having to do with the community and the legislature and some of the good things and some of the scary things and some of the changes in our society that we like or don't like. Tomorrow we'll have Mayor Chuck Medon on. We hope to have him on every Tuesday, schedule a permitting, and I'm sure we'll get an update a little bit about how the work session went
on
the bridge and what's going on there and what other issues besides the bridge we need to be concerned with. I threw out the word last week, the recall word. I don't know how else to do it when you have a minority that, I mean, people complain when a majority representation in a body, you know, in a public policy body doesn't listen to minorities. Oh, what do you do? Or when you have a sliver minority of individuals, they won't listen to the majority.
Right.
I mean, what other avenues are available to us other than, hey, if you're listening, why don't you look up what ward you live in and see if you can serve the community and see if you're in a position with your family and your job to volunteer and be city councilor and run. Run on something common sense and not something crazy.
Common sense. That's our motto,
the whole
pretty much.
Thing about the anti-automobile. All right.
I don't get that.
Well,
not at all.
All right. I get it. I understand what they believe. I understand what they believe to be the source. And we're talking about climate change and carbon emissions and that and cars. Get it. However, you're just not being realistic saying, well, if we just don't build the infrastructure, nobody will drive their car.
That's unrealistic.
I think, and you see it already. I saw it in a Audi commercial over the weekend. Maybe it was a Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah.
Where they're going to, a huge number of the cars, they're moving towards going all electric.
Mm-hmm.
So the question that Councilor Lewis asked, Councilor Lewis from Ward 8 in West Salem asked to one of the people that testified, is, hey, would your opinion about the river crossing change if all the cars were electric?
Good question.
Crickets.
Yeah, right.
Crickets. I've never been forced to think about in those terms. It's like, all right, we just need it now. And if you think that people are going to get out of their cars because you're going to create gridlock or that there'll be fewer cars on the road in 10 years from now.
Right.
Yeah,
we needed infrastructure even when we were horse and buggy. We did.
Yeah.
You still had to get across the rivers, right?
Yes, and we did have on Newsmakers Emergency Management
telling
us, wow, we're really going to have a lot of problem helping people after the Cascadia event because we can fly it into Salem Airport, but we can't get across the river.
That would be a big problem.
There is, you know, people think that we can retrofit the existing two bridges and make them.
Sure, you could do that.
Yeah, and maybe they survive. That's really
maybe.
Great.
That's, you know, quote, maybe.
Maybe they survive. And let's give them that. That doesn't change the fact that you cannot cross this river with anything of any size between Albany and Newburgh.
That's
Albany
a long way.
And Newburgh. Try to fly over that and see that section of Oregon that you cannot cross other than that bridge. No, Independence Bridge. Okay, you're all screaming at your radio. There is a bridge that goes into Independence. But there are severe height restrictions to get to them.
Yeah.
So there are a couple of railway passes. So you can't like put an 18-wheeler full of drinking water.
Retrofit the cars.
Red Cross.
Go across the train track.
Yeah, so forth. So anyway, civil discourse. You got to believe in civil discourse. So anyway, run for city council. We talked and we've had the show repeated about how you can volunteer in the Willamette Valley and be at your city or your county. Or your region or state, how you can volunteer, how you can plug in, or you can get elected. So I think more people need to consider it. More people are like, oh, I don't know how that works. Well, you know what? Either do the people that ran.
That's true.
So if you run for city council in Salem and you get elected, the staff will train you. They'll train you on what the election laws are, or what the, you know, how things work, how things are funded, how they'll train you on all of that. Funny story. One of our city councilors declined the training.
What?
They didn't want to know how the city worked, apparently, because they know more than anyone else. So
that is a funny story.
Yeah. Anyway,
you take a new job, but you don't want any training on it.
It doesn't take. It takes a pragmatic individual that cares about Salem, and that's what we need.
Right.
That's what we need.
Somebody who cares.
And we need them to be system wide. So some people, it's hard to find candidates that live in the Northeast. It's hard to find candidates that live in the ward that goes from downtown and then up through the Portland Road area.
Oh yeah.
Things
okay.
Like that. And that just have the people that have the ability to, you know, spend more time in the community and gift them. So we need more candidates to run, or we're going to get these, or we're going to get this. People got elected because they got 20 of their supporters, to knock. And this is crazy, but they knocked door to door every weekend for that, you know, February, March, April, May period of time. And then they got elected. So now they think they have a mandate, despite the polling that shows that 77% of the people and over 60% of the people that don't even live by the river, the farthest reaches in East Salem, over 60% of them recognize we need an infrastructure over the river. All right, I should plug this, by the way, if I'm going to rant before the mayor's tomorrow. And you'll see it in social media right now. There's a big push. Don't kill the bridge. I think
yes.
Don'tKillTheBridge.com, right? We have Salem Bridge Solutions. But write your city councilor. City council. That's cityofsalem.net. Goes to all 8 city councilors and the mayor and the city manager.
Wow.
There's no reason that we should not be fired up enough that every single person listening to this not only writes the email, but has everybody in their family reading their email until there are tens of thousands of emails telling people, you know, we're not even asking you to build it, fund it, design it, finalize it. Just give us a placeholder so another generation of people don't have to start over.
Right, because that's another, you know, $9 million wasted. Or
please don't
13
make us
years?
Start over. Oh. Maybe that can be the email. Email us, we need it now. Don't make us start over. Don't waste our money. Listen to the majority.
Right. All of
whatever
them.
Your message is, city council at cityofsalem.net.
Right,
and check out Don't Kill Our Bridge. Don't Kill The Bridge.
Don'tKillTheBridge.com.
Right. All right, we got about a minute left, so let's go back to your Patriots.
Bill, oh yeah.
Are they coming back to the Super Bowl? Is Tom Brady getting too old?
No, he's coming back for another one.
Yeah, he's pretty studly.
He is. So, he's in great shape.
My wife was asking too. It's just like, so what is the big deal? I mean, why is this monumental about with the Patriots? And like
6 Super Bowls? Only one other team has ever done that. That would be the Steelers.
And they did it over how many years?
And
with the same quarterback and with the same coach.
Right.
And like an era that doesn't end.
Yes.
So honestly, I was
He's the GOAT.
I was kind of hoping that
greatest of all time.
Yeah, the GOAT. It's a new
GOAT.
A new word.
Yes.
Jared Goff, I was really rooting for him. He's a Cal Bear, so I have to tell you, Cal Bears, go Bears.
Yeah.
I went to that crazy school in UC Berkeley. And interesting fun fact, Cal has more starting quarterbacks in Super Bowls than any college in the nation.
Nice. See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.